Hey, I told you we were going to talk about the sacrifice of Christ and how he was a sin offering. How did he become that? What does that mean? What does it mean for you? It means that you can sit in your chair and relax and not feel guilty about what a mistake-ridden person you are, because you are justified, and that means that all your mistakes are actually working for your good. In other words, they are right. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zenner. The word right is the root word of righteousness, and the word just is the root word of justification. I love making sense like this. You've heard me say I make sense for a living. That's because I do make sense for a living. Okay, if you're watching on the Zender Cam, you see I have a pink shirt on. I'm all Florida. This was a gift to me at Christmas, this pink shirt. And, I might show you my pants. Of course, you folks listening on the audio in your car or what have you, you're not going to be able to see this, but this is going to make you run to your computer when you get home and click on the Zender Cam, because I'm going to show you a pair of pants that I've owned for 3 years. I've worn them to death, but these are really Florida shorts and I'm pretty proud of them. So let me take off my, no, not my pants. I'm going to take off my earbuds here and I'm going to walk away from the microphone very slowly and show you my pants, and then we're going to get down to business. But this is important. You need to see these pants. All right, now, here I go. I want you to see these, and I want you to see that they do not match my shirt at all. Not all. Not at all. But, because I didn't expect to be standing up, so I would never go out in public like this. Well, maybe I would, come to think of it. Now, I don't know. I might. Look, are you catching this? Are you catching this on the Zender Cam? I'm going to stand on my chair here. Look at these. I'm going to spin around on my chair. And you're seeing my butt right there. And I'm spinning, and giving you a 360-degree view of my Florida outfit here. And obviously, I'm quite proud of it. I'm not sure why, because I just possibly embarrassed myself on the World Wide Web. But that's okay, because I don't care. All right, now we are going to talk about the sacrifice. How did we get here? How did we get to the sacrifice? From Hebrews 13, let's start with verse 11. For the animals whose blood is carried into the holy place by the chief priests concerning sin, of these the bodies are burned up outside the camp. You're tired of hearing this outside the camp business, but you need to hear it because that's where our reality is, outside the mainstream. And the sin, again, was so bad in God's sight that it had to be taken away from the holy place. This is why Jesus Christ said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in Jesus Christ's perception, God had forsaken him. Now, I want you to know this. He didn't really forsake him. That was just his perception. It felt to him like God had abandoned him. But God did not abandon him, because 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16. Let's go to 18. Yet all is of God, who conciliates us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. That means that God is at peace with the world. That's what conciliation means. How that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. God was in Christ. Or you can put the comma in a different place. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. So they were at one purpose. And so for anyone to live at all, the Spirit of God must be in them. But the extremity of Christ during those 6 hours on the cross was so horrible that he felt as though his Father had forsaken him. It felt to him like that. And it was so real to him, that's why he cried out. But God had not absolutely forsaken him. But relatively, that is, as Jesus Christ is relating to his feelings, God had forsaken him. God can't literally, absolutely forsake anything, or else that thing will cease to exist, because everything is because of the cohering power of the Spirit. Everything exists by Spirit. By Him all things consist. Colossians 1:16. I know it's talking about Christ there, but God is also working through Christ. So even that's a relative statement. All is out of God, all is through Christ. God is absolutely doing it, but He's doing it through the agency of Christ. Now back to the cross. My God, why have You forsaken Me? Because in this hour, He became the sin offering. And I told you that that word offering is in light face type. Let's look at it. We're still in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Conciliating the world to Himself, not reckoning their offenses to them. Okay, God is not now reckoning anyone's offenses to them because He has conciliated the world to Himself through the cross of Christ. Now let's go on here. And placing in us the word of the conciliation. We're the carriers of this message. Nobody gets it unless they get it through Scripture or they get it through us via Scripture. We're carriers of the most amazing message ever given to humanity. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors as of God, entreating through us. We are beseeching for Christ's sake, be conciliated to God. For the one not knowing sin, He makes to be a sin offering for our sakes. This is Christ, for the one, capital O, not knowing sin, He, God, makes to be a sin offering for our sakes, that we may be becoming God's righteousness in Him. That was a done deal. But this is what I want to point out, is that the word offering here is in light face type. For the one not knowing sin, He makes to be a sin for our sakes. He makes to be a sin. That's what it says in the Greek. The light face type, again, means that that word has no representation in the original language, and it was thrown in there to satisfy English idiom. So Jesus Christ represented all the failings of the universe. It was all, can I say this? It was all symbolic. Because this offering of Christ was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament sacrifices. Now, when we look at the Old Testament sacrifices, the sheep, the bull, the goats, how can you literally put, this is why I say that it's done in a figure, how can you literally put every sin? I mean, a sin is not a concrete thing. It's not like a donut or a jalapeno. So you can't take sins and put it on either a goat or a person. So this has to be done ceremoniously or ceremonially. I think it's ceremonially. If you want to do it ceremoniously, you're on your own. So God reckoned this to be so. This was His chosen method of dealing with sin. And what He did was He chose an innocent victim. Not a victim. He chose an innocent offering. Sorry, it's not a victim. An offering. Something that was valuable so that we would see His heart. This whole thing is not about the goats. It's about God's heart. And in this sense, it's not even about the Son. Because the Son is serving the Father. It's about the Father's heart in showing us how He gives something so extremely valuable to Him. And He stated it to be so, that the sin was going to be gone when this man died. And the fellowship was removed from him. Now, it was imperative that Christ be very, very sensitive. And I cried for him when I was a kid because I knew how sensitive he was. And he had his fellowship with his God and Father all day long. He went up to the mountains before daybreak to pray because the world drove him nuts. His friends drove him nuts. The priests drove him nuts. He needed to find respite. And so he was very sensitive, and he was aware constantly of the presence of his Father in his life. And that's what we have. We have the awareness. And what sin does is it drives God away, you see, and God cannot come near to sin, so it drives Him away. And so the result of every sin coming on him was a driving away. Picture 1,000 sins, and now picture 1,000 times driving God away from it. So it's not that sins are literally placed in a certain place, because you can't pick up a sin. It's, again, I'll say this, symbolic. It's symbolic, but it pictures us, for us, God's attitude. He says he put all the sins of the world on Christ. What that means is that all the result of enmity against God was taken onto Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ volunteered to have this enmity between God and sin placed on him, so that God was driven away from him. You see what I'm getting at? I know it seems abstract, but God is driven away from sin. And the ultimate result of that, listen to this, the ultimate result of being driven away from sin is death. So when God drives something away from him, that end of that road is death. So that's why Jesus Christ tasted death. The ration of sin, the result of sin, is death. So Christ paid the price for sin. What was the price? It's not eternal torment, because that's not the price of sin. It's death. Sin leads to death. Death, death, death. And Jesus Christ on the cross for 6 hours got closer and closer to death, and he got farther and farther away from God, because this was God's chosen offering for you and for me. So I don't want you to think anymore of your sins being placed on him. It is a love offering of God, and Christ suffered the consequences of being a sinner. That's why it says he was made sin, because he suffered the consequence of being a sinner. And the consequence, again, of being a sinner is death, but he tasted it for everyone. So it was more severe for him. And possibly this is because of his sensitivity of being away from the Father. And it's as if the sins were being poured on his naked body as it was pinned to the stake. It's as though that were happening, and it was pushing away his God consciousness, which is the worst thing you could do to him. And he was feeling the repercussions, the result of all the failings in the universe. Now that is something that you and I will never ever feel. So you see how becoming sin, or becoming a sin offering, is abstract until you realize the result of sin is death. So what he became was estranged from God. And because that's the sadness, that's what makes me cry, that he had to be estranged from his Father, because God can't be in the presence of sin, because he's so pure, holy, and righteous. But because Christ lived out the horrible, horrible result, consequence of sin, which is death, now we can enter into the presence of God apart from sin and apart from death, because God was satisfied by the offering of his Son. This sounds bad too, because it's not that God just wanted to hurt him. It comes back to this. The whole transaction of the crucifixion comes down to this, and I'm realizing this as I'm talking to you, is that God somehow had to show us how much he loved us and how much he wanted us to be near him. And again, he can't do this because of the contrast principle without first getting us far away from him. Now, because we don't know the difference, we don't know the love of God unless we've been away from him, unless we've tasted hate and distance. So he temporarily locks up altogether in stubbornness, that he should have mercy on all. And so that's what he does. And it's all a long, drawn-out process. But the thing is this crucifixion shows God offering his most valuable, most precious thing. How do we know it's his most valuable, most precious thing? Because he gives us families. He gives us children. And we know what it's like to be separated from them, the horror of thinking of your children dying and never coming back. It's just horrible. You hate it when your kids get sick. And so when we see what God did, it shows us how much He loves us, and it also shows us the result of being at enmity to Him, at enmity with Him. And it's all very complicated, and it's all very simple. As simple as I can make it is that thus God loves the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that those who believe in Him may have aeonian life. And this is how we know God, to see what He gave up and what it took to bring us into His presence, a presence that He Himself removed us from temporarily so that we could know the joys of being conciliated to Him. This is the message that is inside of us. This is the message that I struggle to give you, as I struggle with it myself. It's all about the love of God, and without it, we're nothing.